I read a scripture. Amen. In the book of 2 Timothy. Book of 2 Timothy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I'll read down a ways, starting at the beginning of the chapter. And I may stop short of where I'm headed because I'm having... It's like when I look at the Word, it seems like I have like not a double barrel, but a triple barrel. I have three thoughts going at once. And I'm focusing in on three things at once here, but I'm going to try to narrow it down to one and say what's on my heart. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Everybody say, be strong in the grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And these things that thou hast heard of me among witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. What he's saying right here is, I allow trouble to come into my life, even to the point of looking like I've done wrong. Therefore, he says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. He didn't say he is an evildoer, but he suffers trouble as an evildoer. Even Jesus did this. Even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. In other words, if he could, he'd do everything he can with you, but there's some points where even God has to draw the line. Amen. He'll believe with you, he'll go with you, but if you're going to deny him, he's going to still be who he is. He can't deny himself. Hallelujah. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, or who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You may be seated. I read all that because it just seemed like it all fits together. You know, if you're going to read part of it, might as well read all of it. If you're going to hear part of it, why don't we just hear it all? See, Paul had a lot of experience too, and he was writing to a younger minister. But what he wrote to the younger minister can be applied to any living person that's trying to do something for God. You can take most any part of what I just read out of the Word of God from Paul's writing to Timothy and take a look at yourself and see what it is you're trying to accomplish, what goal you're trying to reach. Where do you go from here? And what do you hope to do with your life in living for God? And then we start reading things like, well, if you're going to be a good soldier, you have to cut some ties from some things. And you have to be dedicated. You can't get entangled with the affairs of this life so much that you can't be available when you're called on. And you know, that can include a lot of things. Because we all have ties. I'm not talking about ties that you pay in offering-taking time. I'm not talking about neckties. We all have ties. We have things that are attached to our lives. We have people. Generally speaking, people tend to form habits. And we become who we are, our individual selves, with our personalities. We're all different. But this is all shaped by the friends we keep, by the places we go, the things we do. We become who we are, and we talk like we talk, and we do the things we do because we have been molded by life. Amen. And we all have a different story. There are people in my life that you know nothing about, but they can just say one or two words and it has a big effect on me. A big effect. There's some that I love dearly that I disagree with profoundly on some things, but I love them so much. And when they say things that I know are not right, it sometimes is difficult to find how to respond because of my caring for them. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to say things to them that would offend them. Yet I'm concerned for them because I do love them. And these are some of the things that I think about sometimes when I know that if I could be there for somebody else that I care for, that maybe I could make a difference. I feel that I know that I could because I see them taking wrong directions, doing wrong things. But sometimes we just have to put all that in the hands of God because He is there. And we can get all hung up and thinking, I've got to go here, I've got to go there, I've got to get involved in this situation because how are they going to be able to straighten this out without my help? You know, and all the time God is saying, hey, I know right where they are. I know what's going on. I can help them. I know what to do. I need you. I need you to work for me. I need you to stop trying to figure out so much about what you can do about these things and give in to the call of God. Hallelujah. I've got a plan for your life, but you're ignoring me, thus saith the Lord. There's some things I would really like to have you do, and you're asking me when you pray, Lord, what will you have me do? And then you won't listen to me. And I'm talking on behalf of God now. This is what He undoubtedly looks at many of us. Here you are praying, say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. Please, Lord, use me. Help me to go here and do this, whatever it is you'd have me to do. And all the time you're praying, he's saying, I do have some things I would like you to do. And we have our, it's like, God, talk to me. And we do all the talking, and we don't do any of the listening. But if the phone rings, we do a lot of listening. Somebody that we have ties with, and they'll talk. Sometimes I get 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 phone calls in a row from the same person. Now, all you people out there that call me occasionally, don't get to thinking I'm talking about you. I'm only talking about one person. I'm not telling you who it is. But this person will call and say things that I've heard many times before. And in a few minutes, the phone will ring and we have the same conversation again. Same words spoken, as if they've never been spoken before. I'm not making fun. I'm not making light. I'm not in any way saying anything bad, because as time goes by, these things do happen to some of the people that we care about. And it's not anything to ridicule or make fun of or make light of, but I'm just talking about the experience of listening. After about 8 times of hearing the same thing, again and again and again and again, you know, you come to realize all this chatter is going nowhere. All this talk is accomplishing nothing. You know, it's not doing anything except giving somebody a chance to rattle their vocal cords. Amen. There's evidently no thought process involved. It's just a matter of making sounds and knowing that somebody hears you making the sounds. But really, that doesn't just happen with phone calls and senior citizens. It happens in everyday living. We can get caught up in just being interested in things that we get involved in such a way that we become tied to it. And I don't know how. See, I don't want to say something that causes you to feel like that you got to stop liking some of the things you enjoy. That's not what I'm talking about. You can still have hobbies. You can enjoy sports. You can enjoy recreation of all kinds, fishing, camping, all these things. We're human beings and we have a need to be able to live life. So I'm not saying do away with your way of living. What I'm saying is, in your living, watch out what you get tied to. Hallelujah. And watch out how involved, be careful how involved we get with our conversations. Because if we're not careful, we'll become just like that repetitive phone call that I'm talking about. Where we're just doing a lot of chatter, but nothing's going on. Nothing's happening. We're just talking. God is looking for soldiers who will do more than talk. Now, I know some ministers who talk a lot, but accomplish nothing. See, when God calls us into the ministry, He doesn't call us just to preach words. Or to say words because we've studied a lot. And show everybody how good we can preach. Or show everybody how much we know because of how much we've studied. And I've seen in my life some that have seemingly got caught up in their study and got tied to what they know and what they figured out and how determined that they are, that they've got to prove that they know these things, that they don't benefit anybody except make themselves feel good just because they're able to rattle. God is not looking for somebody just able to talk. He proved that with Moses. He's looking for somebody who's willing to be obedient and listen. Listen to God. If I listen to everybody that has problems, that pour their hearts out to me, and if I allowed myself to take all their cares and worries into my heart to such a degree as, you know, as my own problems, like I worry about my own difficulties, if I would do that for everybody like I do it for myself, I would spend all my time crying and groaning and hurting. And I could get tied to misery. I could get myself all bound up in just being burdened down. It's not that I'm saying I don't care. I do care. And it's not that I'm saying I don't want to help. I do want to help. I want to be there. I want to do what I can for everybody that hurts. But you know what? There's only one that can do that. Hallelujah. There's only one that can do that. But we've been placed into a position to serve that one. Hallelujah. And so when information comes to us, we don't need to get hung up there. We need to go to Jesus. And Jesus is able to answer prayer. Jesus is able to give instruction. Jesus is our captain. He is the Lord of hosts, and He is the one that knows the answers, and He knows how to fight the battles and break the walls and cause things to turn around. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If we don't be careful, we will find ourselves getting involved in endless chatter about, and it can be good words. I know God can do it. I know He's able. Now, there's nothing wrong with those words. I know He's a good God. Yes, He is. And we say those words. And I just know God is able to do these things. You know, and we say these things over and over. Our God is able. Yes, He is. Yeah, He sure is. Right. And He is. Amen. Yeah, you're right. You know what? He's able. Yes, He is. So what are we going to talk about? Let's talk about how able God is. Well, you know, He's an able God. Yes, He's able. Amen. He is able. He can do anything. He sure can. Right. You know, He's just able to do anything. Amen. He is. How many of you would like me to move on from this conversation? I wonder how God sees it when He sees the whole population in the world. And amongst them, a few people, a remnant somewhere around the world, saying, "Our God is able." Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Those are good words. But you know what? We need to get past the words. Do we really believe He's able? Or are we just babbling? Hallelujah. See, Peter wasn't just babbling when he looked at the crippled man and he said, "Get up and walk." He didn't say, "I believe God's able to make you walk. I'm serving a great big God and He can do these things. I know He can. He's good. He's wonderful." And you know, there's nothing, we need to keep saying those things. We need to keep raising our hands saying, "God, You're good. You're wonderful. You can do anything." But every once in a while, somebody comes along and says, "I said, get up in the name of Jesus and take them by the hand and lift them up." Because I know not only is He able, but He's going to perform that which we are calling on Him to do in His name according to His promise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some people like to talk about how good God is, and that's good. That's better than talking about some things people talk about. And I could listen all day to somebody tell me how good God is. When they get through telling me how good He is, they're not going to convince me one bit beyond what I already know. Hallelujah. I already know He's good. But it's good to say He's good. And that's great. And those conversations are wonderful. They're needed. But every once in a while, we need to get up from our conversation and go to God. Talk to Him. And say, "Lord, what will You have me to do?" not with our ears closed. And you know what? You may be waiting on an answer to come across the pulpit. And it may be coming across the pulpit and you're not hearing it. It's kind of like some people waiting on something that has been promised through the years. Maybe some kind of a maturity on some kind of a money investment or something. And to get the news, the money is there for you. All you have to do is go get it. And it's waiting for you. And to say, well, that's nice. I'm glad to know that. And to run around in an old jalopy, not able to afford to make it run. And to wear clothes that are threadbare because you just can't afford to buy any clothes. And to get skinny because you can't afford to buy food. But you know, you do have this money. Yeah, it's good money. And you can sit around and rest and talk about this all day. Amen. Guess what I've got laid up for me over here? No, I don't look like I got anything, but I got money. I got enough to buy a Cadillac, a brand new one, and some nice new suits and a new home. I've got all this money. And you know what? I learned a long time ago, if you got some money, nobody cares about hearing about it. Who cares? I want to know that I've got some money. I don't want to know what you got. I want to know I got some money. Tell me how I can get some money. You know, so these conversations, guess what I've got? Guess what I can do? Guess what I can buy? Guess what I own? All you're usually doing when you do that, if you ever do that, which I don't think any of us ever have, but if perhaps you do stumble across some money and you want to tell somebody, you're going to learn they don't care unless you're going to give them some of it. Amen. And neither do they care that you know God. And that you're going to give them some of Him. Hallelujah. I mean, you can walk upright, go to church faithfully, and sing in the choir, and just raise your hands, clap your hands, and have a big time. And you can go around telling people how great it is to go to church. And that's good. That's good. But sometimes we get to thinking, you know, we go to church and we know these things. And we don't understand why they can't see what we see. But if we would just look back a little ways and see where we came from. There was a time when we didn't see. You know, sometimes it's good to reflect and think about what caused me to fall in love with God. What happened in my life that made a difference? And I'm going to tell you something. Whatever it was that happened to you or me can still happen for somebody else. Hallelujah. Somebody did something besides saying, I know God. And every one of us have a different story. I remember the time Bobby Smith called. He said, I met somebody at school that's interested in God, interested in the Bible. He was all excited. He said, his name is Joe. I think he might come to church. And he was all excited. And then, I don't know what all Bobby did. Brother Joe could tell you the story. I don't know what caused him to want to go with Bobby to his church. He could tell you that story. I've never heard that part of the story. But whatever that is, that's very possibly something that Bobby did for Joel that would still work for somebody today. Whatever it was. But we, if we're not careful, we will forget about those little things that happened. And we'll start trying to figure out, how are we going to get this message out? And we'll do all kinds of things to try to figure out words to say, things to do. But all the time God says, I just want you to listen to me. And I have some instructions based on your experience, who you are, and what you are, and what you are becoming in God. Turn loose of the way you've always been, the way you've always thought, the way you've always done, and let's try a new and living way and see what God can do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there's somebody just ahead that has another unique situation. And something that's happened in your life that caused you to come to this point is ready to happen in their life so that they can break free from their chains of bondage. And see, if Brother Joe now, if he would go to some school today and walk around trying to find somebody that wants to talk about God because of the fact that that's how he first got started in this direction, they would probably have him arrested. Because you don't become a middle-aged man and then walk across the school ground as a stranger toting the Bible. But when I say the thing that worked for Brother Bobby reaching Brother Joe, I'm not saying do exactly the same details. But what I am saying is this. Some effort and some excitement and some enthusiasm. And during a time when Bobby was praying and calling on God, he was sensitive and alert. And when the commander-in-chief said, go this way, he can hardly wait to give a report to his pastor. I think I've got somebody that may come to church coming from school. It wasn't a thing where he was standing around all day saying, you know, God's able to bring somebody from the school. Our God is able. Praise His holy name. And all that's good. Those need to be said. But somewhere there was a contact made and something said that drew the attention of somebody else. I don't know the details. I just know it happened because I can see what's happening now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I got a phone call late one night, and it was Sister Doris Masters. She said, Brother Rutledge, Brother Rutledge, Brother Rutledge, I think I got a new fish on the line. And she wasn't fishing as far as going out to a lake and fishing. I said, really? She said, yeah. He works at a convenience store. His name is John. Yeah? Yeah, I just came from there. He saw me, and he said something about me being a Pentecostal. He could tell by the way I looked. And I think he might be a candidate for church. Really? And so I said, I'll go after him. So this is like after midnight, you know. We always do things after midnight around here. I hung up the phone, put my shoes on, took off. I think that time I was living at Brother Bradley's apartment, if I'm not mistaken. I believe I was. And he was courting Sister Judy, I think. trying to get her to go to church. But anyway, I went down to the store and I met this guy called John. Now, I didn't have a whole lot to say to him, but there he walks across the building now. He's here today. Amen. And you know what? As we look back at that conversation several years ago, Sister Doris could have gone into that store and after he said a few words, she could have just said there saying, we serve a great big God. He's a good God. He's a wonderful God. Oh, yes, He is. Well, John's nice to meet you. God's good. He's able to save your soul. He's able to do this. He's able to do that. And just leave it at that, and then maybe call me on the phone. You know, Brother Rutledge, God is able. God's good. He can, you know what? But something beyond our ordinary way of talking took place. Some details of what was going on. some excitement, some enthusiasm, some making me want to get up and go and see what this is all about. And that night we didn't have a lot of immediate response, but the response that came from his heart. Now today, if Brother John brings somebody to God, and when he brings people to God, and probably will bring a multitude because of his involvement in the kingdom of God, it'll be because he did more than say God's good. God's great. God's holy. He's wonderful. And we need to say all that. But every once in a while, we need to make sure that we're not tied up with some way that we've always been, or some way that we've always thought, or some way that we've always talked. We need to break our habits and be available, because a good soldier will get orders sometime that means he will go a direction he never intended to go. Never had any thoughts of going that way. But when you get out there, you find out there's a reason to be here. Hallelujah. When you're on the battlefield, when you're fighting in a war, your life is on the line. Amen. And it's either you or the enemy. And you're fighting for a cause. And you're given orders to go and do and be and obey. And when that enemy is in your face, you don't say, "We've got a great country." You ought to come to America sometime and try to see what all we've got. We got, man, our president and Congress, we got a lot of good people. We got a crowd in America. That's where the Statue of Liberty is, you know. You start that, you're going to get your head blowed off. On the battlefield, there's no time for endless chatter. Hallelujah. You've got orders. You're in a position. There's a cause involved. And you have to do what you've been commanded to do. This is what Paul is talking about. Endure some hardness. Take some orders. Stop your endless talk. Break yourself free. Listen to God and go do what He has you to do. And expect good things to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we try to work so much for each other's approval if we're not thinking. I want you to like the way I do things. Or, you ever watch people, you know, especially new ones when they're not used to any of this stuff, and they get down to pray, and they pray like this. You know, looking around to see who's watching. Or I've seen children pray, peeping out their side of their eyes to see who's watching. I've seen people say, you know, without thinking, "Thank you, Jesus," and then go. Because there's something about human nature. Oh, I'm so easily embarrassed. I don't want to do anything that won't meet the approval of everybody. And we're so mindful sometimes of this that we forget about meeting the approval of God. If you were in the service fighting for the government as a soldier, and you were told to do something, and these were your orders, that would be the thing to do. Regardless of what those around you think. And God has given us commandments. Hallelujah. He's given us commandments. And involved in all that is praise God. Praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise Him with the lifting of your hands. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So who cares who thinks what? I am under orders here. And I have a God who knows why I should shout. I have a God who knows why I should clap my hands. He didn't explain it all to me, but He gave me orders. And I don't have any more sense than to go ahead and clap my hands and to shout unto God with a voice of triumph.
And when I get through, if you like it, fine. If you don't, fine. But I'm doing this under God. Because I'm not here just to get your approval. I'm here for the approval of my King. Hallelujah. And you know what? We can be so feeling intimidated when we start to worship God because of what others around us might think. Or what they might, how they might look, because they know a lot about us. We've been talking to them. They know how we are. They know how we are. And they know how we are. And if you didn't hear that, they know how we are. And so, since they know how we are, we get to thinking about that, and we forget that God knows. So, I would get up and do something, but you know what? It's quiet night, and service is kind of dead, and preacher's preaching too long, and I've already, my mind has already gone dull, and but I really feel like jumping. But I'll wait till next service, because it's kind of quiet right now. If I would jump, everybody look at me. Now, while you're sitting there listening to this long-winded preacher and your head's swimming because you're so tired from a busy week, and all of a sudden you just feel like jumping up and down and shouting hallelujah, think about this. It can't be the devil. Hallelujah. It's not the devil. Praise God. And it's not the dead people around you that have lost interest and sit and feel like a hoot owl on a tombstone. They're not the ones causing you to want to jump up and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I wonder where that might be coming from. So you're just going to sit there and because of the way they're doing and because of the way they're acting, you're going to just say no to God? Hallelujah. Who are we serving? Each other? Or are we serving God? Hallelujah. Who is it that makes me want to lift my hands? Then why should I care what anybody thinks? I have freedom. I might be sitting here in what appears to be bondage, but I'm not bound. My hands are going to wave sometimes. My voice is going to shout sometimes. My feet are going to dance sometimes. Hallelujah. 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 You know what? It's better to shout than to talk about shouting. It's better to dance and leap than to talk about dancing and leaping. It's better to say hallelujah to Jesus than to talk about how good it is to say hallelujah to Jesus. It's better to raise those hands and praise Him than to talk about the fact that we do that at our church. Hallelujah. Glory. There ain't no devil going to make you shout hallelujah to Jesus. And your friends won't make you do it. In fact, when you start feeling those unctions from the Holy Ghost, saying, come on here, get excited, get enthused, get up, raise those hands, raise that voice, let those tears flow. Amen. When that starts coming to you, it's not coming from anybody but God. Hallelujah. It's not even coming from you, it's coming from God. And if we know it's coming from God, why not just launch out into the deep? Why not just let God be God? We call ourselves apostolic. Yeah, we can talk about that all day. But every once in a while, somebody is apostolic. Hallelujah. Somebody can be apostolic. My God. Hallelujah. What church do you go to, apostolic church? Church at Norwich, New England School of the Bible, Norwich Tabernacle, Arms Around the World Ministries. Our titles are getting so long now, we're going to have to get a book to write the name of our church. Amen. Be seated just a moment. Man, y'all came out of your seats. Devil didn't make you do it, did he? Nobody seemed to care what anybody else thought. Amen. That's right. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to be free? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be free? I was in a Pentecostal church where hallelujahs are in order. They talked about them in their testimonies. It was a big church, hundreds of members. And they talked about it freely and they preached about it. And they called themselves apostolic. I went on a trip and I was excited to get back to this place. And I walked in late and the preacher was preaching. And he was saying some good things. And in a Pentecostal church, during the preaching, I said, "Hallelujah!" And everybody turned around and looked at me. Even the preacher stumbled on his notes, like it scared him. You know what? When hallelujah gets out of order in the apostolic church, we need to join the Baptist. Go there and shout hallelujah or something. I'm telling you, if you're in a church where you can't be free, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I didn't mean that. We're not going to join the Baptist. We may go there on the mission field. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying say hallelujah for show. Or try to prove to everybody else that you can do what the preacher says by being louder than anybody. We had a situation in a church that I attended once where the preacher got up and he said something about open your mouth and pray. You know, don't just mumble your prayers. Come on, God's not, you know, He's not looking for somebody timid and shy, scared to pray. He's looking for somebody who's willing to, you know, he was talking along these lines. Well, one person in the church took that to mean you got to get real loud with your prayers. And it became very annoying because he knew a whole lot of stuff about a whole lot of people. And, you know, and this is one of those churches where we had prayer meeting before the services, you know, we'd meet for prayer. Well, this man was heard loud above everybody else, telling us everything that had happened in everybody's life in that church. Oh, God! You see what's going on between Sister Smith and Sister Martha? Lord, there's division in that home. God. Of course, we all got quiet wanting to see what he's going to tell us next. And brother so-and-so is about to get a divorce. Lord. So it's hard to come out with some instructions that everybody's going to understand. My dad had to call that man aside and say, "Brother, I don't know how to tell you this." I used to sit with my father in many of these conversations. He would sit before we would have these conversations with individuals who seemingly didn't understand some things. He would run it by me. And we'd sit and talk, and he would say, "Well, I'm going to have to talk to him. I'm going to have to tell him this, going to have to tell him that. And just, you know, we can't let this go on. I'm going to have to deal with this. We're going to have to settle this issue It's going to disrupt the whole church. It's going to mess things up. I tell you what, I'm going to tell him this, and I'm going to tell him that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And he'd get through running all that by me. And he would call the man in. Sit down. And I had my dad say, "Praise the Lord, brother. How you doing?" And they would talk a while and talk soft, and then they'd pray a while. And then sometimes the subject never even came up. And I'd look over at my dad after this meeting was over, and I'd say, "What happened to all that? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that." He said, "Well, God talked to my heart. It's not time. He can't handle it right now. God knows what he's doing. I intended to do this, I intended to do that, but I'm listening to God. When you grow up, you'll understand." Hallelujah. There have been times, we had three people getting the Holy Ghost at the altar one night. They were lying there on the floor getting the Holy Ghost. Brother Robert Bayer had just been preaching. The crowd was worshiping. An old man in the church was mad at the pastor. I was standing there. I had just come out of preaching a revival somewhere in some other state. And I was all excited because these people were in the altar, lying in the floor, speaking in tongues. Brother Bear was saying, "Hallelujah." And I was standing there, and before my eyes, an old man went running through the church, grabbed my dad by the collar, and started shaking his fist in his face. And so I went after the old man. Here we are, these people receiving the Holy Ghost. Brother Bear is shouting hallelujah, and I'm pulling this man off the preacher. And I tried to pull him, and I pulled his coat off. And I grabbed him by the arm, and he slung me around, and we were having us a fight right there in the altar. Brother Bayer was up there saying, "Come on, folks, keep praising the Lord." Me and this guy, we were wrestling down the aisle, just wrestling. And my dad was trying to straighten up his collar, and he was trying to figure out what all was going on here. I had that guy back in the back of the church, and I was holding him. I had my arms wrapped around my big old belly, poked up against him. I didn't know what to do with him. You know, sometimes you catch something, you don't know what to do with it. I used to have a little dog that ran after trucks, and I wondered, what you going to do with it if you catch it? I stood there holding this old man. I had my arms all the way around him, had his hands... His arms were down beside him, and I had my arms around his arms so he couldn't move. We were just standing there like this in the aisle. Then I wondered, what am I going to do with him? If I turn him loose, he might hit me. Those are good old days. So, I finally turned loose. We had a few words and we sat down. Brother Bayer came over after a while. He said, "This is old time apostolic." It's been a long time since I've seen people get the Holy Ghost and the fight going on at the same time. He just laughed. I was still breathing hard. Talked to my dad afterward. I said, "Dad, what would have happened if I hadn't pulled him off of you?" He said, "I guarantee you it got settled a lot better than you settled it." I didn't understand that. I felt like it was up to me. Here we are, 200 people, all of them stronger than me probably. I had to drag the man off of my father. My dad was stronger than the guy. He could have done it himself. It just dawned on me a few years ago what he meant. Praise God. Sometimes you just need to hold back a little bit and see what God is doing. See what God is doing. Oh, look, I'll continue this tonight. Let us all stand. Amen. See what God is doing. Huh? Hallelujah. That old gentleman, amen, he was unruly, he was mean, he was ornery. I remember him coming to the church with a knife looking for my dad. And he was walking to the building with this knife. And I thought about getting a knife and going after him. You know, that's not the way you do things. But I'm glad I didn't follow through with that thought. That kind of thought doesn't come from God. But those thoughts that says, shout hallelujah and praise the Lord, they don't come from the devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But when it came time for death, when it came time for the funeral of the gentleman, during the time that he spent in nursing homes in the latter part of his life, amen, my father was kind to him. He was nice to him. He loved him. Spent time with him. Gave him respect. Treated him as a brother right up till his death. Preached his funeral. And said nothing but good things. And gave God the praise. For dealing with his heart. And for the days that he spent serving God. And working with the church. Hallelujah. Some people hold a grudge. Something goes wrong, they never get over it. They get tied to it. Get bound to it. And yet they're trying to serve the Lord. And God may want us to say to that grudge, get out of my life. You know how that happens? Forgive. He had the wisdom to teach us to forgive. To forgive. To forgive. It's easy to say, not always easy to do. Let's all come around the front. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I'm saying this morning. We can talk about what we know is good. But doing it can be something else. Praise God. Who are we serving? And what are we tied to? Are we really bound or can we take our liberty in what appears to be bondage? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Are we really a small church? Are we affected by the number of people? Or can we not lift up our eyes and realize how big God is and how useful we can be in the kingdom? God's not looking for great numbers of people. He's looking for service. And in that service, great numbers of people sometimes are one to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't we praise the Lord? We praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for prompting our hearts to praise you. You know more about why we need to praise you than we do, God. You know more about why we need to lift up our hands and praise you than we do. You know what we're going through. You know where we're coming from. Thank you, Jesus, for the freedom and the liberty to express our joy to the one that we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I've heard people through the years say, I felt so bound, I could not raise my hands. I felt so bound, I could not get up and do this, and I could not do that. I've often wondered, how would they feel if they really were bound? If somebody came in off the streets and tied every one of you up with ropes, and you were sitting there bound and couldn't move, would you be willing, after they take the ropes off, to lift those hands? Don't tell me you're bound. You're just acting like it. Hallelujah. You're not bound if you're in church. Praise God. You listen to the lie of the devil. You're free. We're free. Don't let those hands hang down when you feel like lifting them up. Those instructions are coming from God. Hallelujah. Don't keep that voice quiet when you feel like shouting out praises. Those are instructions coming from God. You need to praise the Lord. Somebody needs to hear you praising the Lord. God wants to receive our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I close with this word from God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. It's not yours, it's His. He wants you to praise Him in His place here. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Don't rely on your own power, your own strength. It's His power that's motivating and bringing about the praise. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Hallelujah. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with a psaltery and harp. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath. Everybody take a breath. Let everything that hath breath. Take another breath. Let everything that hath breath. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let everything. And we've got breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him again this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, He's a good God. Yes, He is. Blessed be His holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll see everyone again. As we come together again to worship the Lord, Spirit and truth. Amen. God bless you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good, good, good.